Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, also Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with us on this edition. And Bill, coming back to the 2024 elections one more time, and I have to tell you, this issue is big time for me. A full disclosure, I ran for governor in 1994 as the pro-life candidate. Bill, I think you voted for me. I'm trying to remember. I think it was you and my family and a couple of church members. I think they're about 12. No, I got anywhere between 3 and 4% of the vote, so I think it was upwards of 40, 50,000 people voted for me in that particular election. I ran against Bruce Benson, who's a Republican nominee, pro-abort, big time. Roy Romer was an incumbent Democrat. He was also a pro-abort. They all wanted to get government money funding abortions. They were committed to that, and I was the pro-life candidate for governor in the 1994 election. Just got, 3, 4% of the vote, because most Americans don't consider abortion to be a watershed issue. And of course, if both candidates are in favor of killing Jews or some sort of genocide, you're supposed to vote for the guy who says he's for lower taxes and keeping immigrants out of the country. Just vote conservative, whatever that means. That's the way that Americans vote. That's the way Republicans vote. That's the way Christians vote. So I only got 3 to 4% of the vote. So, you know, if I was the only candidate standing up against killing Jews, killing babies, whatever it was, they certainly weren't going to go for me. Largely because I probably wasn't the horse that was going to win the race. And that's, I think, the same mentality that's approaching the 2024 elections. You think about what's happening with Donald Trump, who's basically walking away from the idea of a federal law regulating abortion, basically wanting to leave it up to the states. And same thing's happening to most of the Republican candidates, it appears, especially in the close races across the country today. Now, what's happening is these Republican candidates are looking at what happened in Ohio, Kentucky, Kansas in the referendum votes referring to abortion. And they're finding that, hey, abortion hardly has the traction to win elections anymore. The pro-life position hardly has the traction to win elections in places like Ohio, Kansas, Kentucky, Montana, et cetera. I think my bottom line here, Bill, is that leadership should lead and not follow the opinions of the mob. But, you know, in a straight democracy, I guess it's the mob that rules, and these leaders are less and less likely to want to take a stance on a pro-life position. And that's basically what we find from a massive CNN report that was just released, I was going to say a couple days ago, on Republican candidates downplaying past anti-abortion stances ahead of the 2024 election. That's a really interesting report, Bill.
It is. And the most telling is by the candidate Carrie Lake, former news anchor who lost her bid to be Arizona governor in 22. But she is, I believe, on the short list to be Trump's VP candidate. And so it's amazing. In 2022, she was totally against any abortion whatsoever. She was thrilled that the state might enact a law that was passed, I believe, in 1864, banning all abortions with no exceptions. She said this. She said, "I'm incredibly thrilled that we're going to have a great law that's already on the books. I believe it is Arizona's 13-3603, so it will prohibit abortion in Arizona, except to save the life of a mother. And I think we're going to be paving the way and setting the course for other states to follow. The law, in effect, would also punish anybody who helped a woman obtain abortion with 5 years in state prison. However, on Tuesday, after the Supreme Court in Arizona ruled that the state must adhere to that law, she said, "I oppose today's ruling, and I am calling on Arizona Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs and the state legislature to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support. Ultimately," and here's the key phrase we're hearing over and over, "ultimately, Arizona voters will make the decision on the ballot come November."
As the Ohioans did, as the Kansans did, as the Kentuckians did, as the Montanans did, they will make the decision and they will kill the babies. That's what they do best.
Yeah, a campaign spokesman said, "Carrie Lake is personally pro-life. Now, whenever you hear that, you know what's coming next.
Yeah, you do.
Her position on a federal abortion ban is clear. She opposes it. Just like President Trump, Kerry is opposed to the territorial law and is calling on the state legislature to fix the issue. Her focus is on saving babies and helping women through protecting IVF, baby bonuses, child tax credits, and paid family leave. Her focus isn't on saving babies.
No.
Her focus isn't on helping women. Her focus is in getting elected because she has flip-flopped dramatically in the past 2 years.
The CNN article goes through all the other examples, one by one by one. It's overwhelming just to see the flip-flop. I'm not sure I've seen this much flip-flopping in a single article in the history of politics in America. This goes on for pages and pages and pages. As a congressman in 2010, Michigan Republican Mike Rogers said he supported abortion under only one circumstance, as preventing the death of a mother. But in September 2023, Rogers has pledged not to support federal laws limiting abortion if they contradict Michigan's law. Abortion now is currently legal in Michigan up to 24 weeks for adults. In other words, you know, he's just going to go with whatever Michigan has stood for. As a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, it's not going to do squat for the pro-life issue. In Washington, Republican Representative David Schweikert represents an Arizona district that Joe Biden would have narrowly carried under its current lines, proudly touted his pro-life record on his website 2014 to 2020, all the way up to 2020, 100% pro-life throughout his career. David Schweikert is committed to protecting and defending the rights of the unborn, et cetera, et cetera. But now Schweikert's website, no mention of abortion at all. On Tuesday, Schweikert said that he did not support the Arizona Supreme Court ruling upholding the 1864 near total ban on abortion. I do not support today's ruling from the AZ Supreme Court. The issue be decided by Arizonans, not legislated from the bench, and on it goes. Well, it was legislated for a very long time.
The shocking one is Mark Robinson, who's running for governor of North Carolina. This guy is a rock star, and he has been just outstanding in his opposition to evil, and he's repeatedly backed a complete ban on abortion without exceptions, and he's done that since 2020. He said, "For me, there's no compromise on abortion. It makes no difference to me why or how that child ended up in that womb." In other words, no exceptions. Well, in response to CNN's request for comment, a spokesman said, "Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson is pro-life because of the painful and difficult experience he and his wife had in his faith. He said that as governor, he would sign a heartbeat bill with exceptions for rape, incest, and when the life of the mother is in danger. Lieutenant Governor Robinson also wants to turn North Carolina and Carolina into a destination state for life by doing more to support women that choose life." So again, he's now even avoiding the abortion word. So people will flip-flop when it comes to this issue because it's pragmatism over principle. We've got to get elected. I've heard this numerous times, Kevin, just recently from Republican insiders. We just have to get Republicans elected. This is a non-winnable issue. You are being too unapologetically pro-life. You need to stop talking about this issue. You need to concentrate on other issues because you're going to get beat up by the Democrats on the abortion issue. It's going to cost Republicans. So just shut up about it. On what other principles in the party platform do they want candidates to shut up about? Because that is part of the Republican Party platform. And this is so disheartening. It is so dangerous. And yet it is so revealing because you see candidates who have put self-interest, getting elected, above the principles of the party, the people, and the nation. And it is revealing when we see pressure put on candidates like this. And that's why this article is so, so good, even coming from CNN. I was amazed by the thoroughness of their research and their reporting.
Well, again, friends, I think what's happened in this country is the Supreme Court of the United States had set the direction for abortion in 1973. Once Americans got the taste of abortion, once they got to the point at which they were slaughtering 67% of children conceived in this nation by use of the abortifacients, the IUD, the day after pill, and the kill pill by mail program, once they got used to it, and once all of those forms were bought and paid for by Obamacare, they are far less likely to sign off on a personhood amendment, far less likely to abolish abortion in any state across this country today. They've got a taste for it. Supreme Court of the United States gave them the taste for it, and then they turned the decision back to the populace, back to the voting base, to determine it in referendum elections and candidate elections across the country. And the end result has been a demonstration of the heart of the nation, that is to kill the kids. And so the moral leadership in America is backing off, seeing that the enthusiasm to kill kids among the electorate is very strong. The leadership within the Republican Party for the pro-life cause has pretty much dissipated. Remember, of course, that abortion and abortifacients is the sacred cow for every feminist in America. So this is part and parcel of feminism and the vision of feminism for the entire country. To abolish the whole idea of marriage, the whole idea of the nuclear family and a father caring for his family and providing for the children and the mother carrying the children to the point that she's the one who has to spend the time raising the children, at least to some extent. The modern day does not want that form of inconvenience, and feminism has allowed for and insisted upon the access to abortion, abortifacients, in order that women are independent from marriage and independent from their husbands, independent of the responsibility of having children and raising children. So this is all part of the vision that feminism has placed upon America. And I would say the majority of Americans are feminists today, with a few exceptions. Well, as far as the leadership are concerned, as far as our Republican leadership are concerned, there is very little moral courage left here, Bill. If you ask a politician, would you risk your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor for a cause of anything? Or a second question, would you risk your life, your fortune, your sacred honor, and your reelection for the cause of anything?
Let me think about it.
I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah.
I think that's what they said.
No. Let me pray about it. No. Let me consult with no. They're not going to do that.
Wait, would you lay anything down? Would you lay down your life, your fortune, your sacred honor, or even your reelection?
I'll lay down your life, your fortune, and your honor.
Yeah.
For my reelection.
That's your typical liberal is, yeah, I'll lay down your life. I'll lay down the baby's life. I'll lay down your fortune by redistributing all your wealth for the cause of my power base. I mean, that's what your average politician will do, Republican or Democrat, either way. When the chips are down, the political winds blow the other direction, you have to be willing to take a stand. It's easy to take a stand when the chips are up, but when the chips are down, it's tough. That's what tests the moral leader. And there aren't many left, Bill. There aren't many left.
No, they're not.
So the big question here, and by the way, people are asking me this question increasingly. Will moving to the center help Donald and his friends to win the swing states? Will moving to the center help Donald and his friends to win the swing states? So it's the swing states we're looking at right now.
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
That's always the temptation. It's always the draw. It's always the push to move towards the center.
Surrender moral leadership. Surrender moral leadership and win the election.
Yeah. Here's the problem. The center is always moving left.
It's always moving, that's for sure. It's always moving. It's always squishy left. And moving. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's always moving toward the evil. Mm-hmm. Just like man's nature always tends toward the evil. That's why Democrats are consistent. Republicans have a great party platform, you know, much of which is biblically based. The problem is the nature of man. It's not that Republicans are abandoning their platform. They're just going with the nature of man, and they drift towards the middle. They drift towards evil. Whereas, you know, for most Democrats, their party platform, they're all in on evil. But now we're seeing the same thing happen with Republicans. So once again, as you always say, don't put your trust in horses and chariots. Don't trust government to save us. Government has one job, and that is to restrain evil. And it is not doing that job, as we have talked about with these candidates who have gone squishy on the issue of abortion. But we need to pray. We need to pressure. We need to participate in the process and raise up godly men and women who will enter into this very dark place and hold to God's word as the standard, not man's opinions. And we can see a return to righteousness in this nation. I think it's not because of government. It is because we pray for revival. Mm-hmm. We pray for revival, and we hold our elected officials accountable to God's word.
So the big question here again, Bill answered it for us, but I'm going to give my shot as well. Will moving to the center help Donald and friends to win the swing states? Now, the theory is this. He's already got the red states. He's got the pro-lifers and conservatives in the bag. He got the Republican nomination. He's got that. Now he just has to grab the centrists, the people in the middle, the populists, the mob. The people in the middle are just fine with killing babies, or they can take it or leave it. It's not their issue. They're more concerned about inflation, illegal immigration, and the like. Now here's the problem. You can't guarantee what the people in the middle will do until election day. There's this 30-40% of people in the middle that swing the election. They vote by whim, by whatever direction the wind is blowing on that particular day. So here's the problem. Okay? You can't guarantee what the people in the middle will do until election day. But here's my question. Who can possibly control the wind? Who can possibly control the 30-40% of people who vote according to whichever way the wind's blowing on any given day? That's the question. I have an answer for that, Bill. God.
Oh,
God controls the wind, and God controls the elections.
I'm pins and needles trying to figure out what the answer might be.
Yeah. Well, Donald thought he could control the hearts of men. Maybe. I don't know. But certainly God controls the elections because God controls the hearts of men. But here's the question. Will moving to the center help Donald and friends win the swing stakes? The swing votes are pretty flaky. They're the flakiest votes. Now, a proud man might believe he's in control of the outcome, but what does the verse say? The ballot is cast into the box, but the whole disposing thereof is of the, that is, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So let's start with that. The ballot is cast into the box, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So which way will the 30-40% in the middle go? This is the squish in the middle. They're not committed pro-life abortion either way. So will moving to the center help Donald and friends win the swing states? I guess that's the question. Well, at the end of the day, of course, what matters is what God does. What matters is that we are responsible to what God wants us to do as voters, as leaders, as Donald Trump leads the nation, as the respective legislators are running for election. They are responsible, not before the voters, not before the media. Primarily, they're responsible to maintain their positions before God. And God is the one who will determine who wins elections. So that's another reason why Donald Trump and friends needs to stand strong at times like these. Now, the bigger issue is not so much saving the nation from Joe Biden. The bigger issue is saving the nation from God's judgment upon the nation, which will come if we do not repent of killing 67% of the babies conceived in this nation every year in the wholesale endorsement of sexual perversion. And that is something that your leading politicians aren't interested in discussing at this point. So I've had another question posed to me. Why don't you just get out there and endorse Donald Trump for president of the United States in the 2024 elections? And they say it's so obvious. All good folks are out there voting for Donald Trump. And so just get out there and endorse it. Well, My answer to that is just very simple. We don't make endorsements. We give you the principles by which you should vote and challenge you to make the decision for yourself. I don't need to influence you or anybody else towards voting for Donald Trump. I need to influence you to embracing the commandments of God. And then you'll make some proper applications to God's commandments and the various aspects of life in which you happen to find yourself. The standard for leadership is still Exodus 18:21. And here it is. You shall select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, place such over you to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and so forth. So never vote for any leader who does not fear God. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, you vote for somebody who doesn't fear God, it can go any way, and it will probably go a very bad way. And there was a Republican who walked into a restaurant, and he ordered a little less than whatever the Democrat was having over there, and he ended up with even more than what the Democrat had. That, my friends, is what happens when you give way to pure pragmatism instead of principle. The standard for leadership is men who fear God. Now, I guess people are asking, does Donald Trump fear God? That's your call as you approach the 2024 elections. Well, friends, get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West to get a better sense for the context of the 2024 elections as we enter into the final days of the Republic. You need to read the story. You need to get the full perspective. Let's get a 1,000-year run on this. What's happened over the last 1,000 years, or make that the last century? I think a better context for this might help. So get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. The fall of Western civilization has already happened and is happening right now. So you just need to understand we're witnessing the fall of a civilization. So that should also inform your vote in the 2024 election. So get some context. Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.